Would you live next door to your ex to keep a 2% mortgage? Morgan Dixon does, and her story reveals how housing, money, and divorce decisions are more connected than ever. Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life. This week on Women Winning Divorce, I speak with Morgan Dixon, a former spouse who, post-divorce, is still sharing a property with her ex in order to keep a historically low 2% mortgage. We dig into how that financial anchor changed her options, what nesting looks like in practice, and what it means to protect your future when your housing is on the line. Awesome. Welcome to this week's show of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Morgan Dixon joins us. Morgan is at the center of a fascinating and highly unusual arrangement. After finalizing her divorce, she and her ex-spouse remain living on the same property to maintain a mortgage locked in at about 2%. Their story was profiled in the Wall Street Journal under the headline, "They're Divorced, a 2% Mortgage is Keeping Them Together." Today, Morgan and I will be discussing how a historically low-rate mortgage became a financial anchor in a divorce scenario, how to evaluate when staying together financially makes sense and when it holds you back, and the emotional, relational, and boundary work that goes into making unconventional arrangements work. Welcome, Morgan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for our listeners, I was so excited when Morgan agreed to be on our show. I had read that story and just really found it fascinating. And also, it's a real life, you know, person right now going through this. And I know that can be so helpful to our listeners. So Morgan, to start, would you tell our listeners a little bit about your story and how you got to this 2% mortgage arrangement, and then we'll get into the divorce and all that.
Sure, sure. And I always like to say, like, you know, I don't have all the answers. Like, this is something that when we realize we're separating and we realize our marriage wasn't going to survive, this was just an idea we threw out and something that we both agreed on. It made the most sense for us. Our primary reason is to live near each other for our kids. So our kids can see him, and they see me every day. They see us together, you know, being kind to each other, or, you know, just getting along anyway, every single day. And so for me, that is just something I always like to preface with this, with our story. But yeah, we decided we were going to get divorced. We finalized our divorce in April. I moved out in January of this year. So it took about 4 months. We used a peaceful mediator. Which means basically Ryan's my ex-husband, we discussed privately how and what we wanted the separation to look like. And then our peaceful mediator kind of formed it all up in the documentation. And so she didn't advocate for him. She didn't advocate for me. She was just there as legal guidance to form it up and say, okay, this is the next part in the process. And this is how we have to consider these questions. But Ryan and I were together the whole time agreeing and discussing, you know, how we wanted that to look. And she got it in front of the judge. He signed off and we were divorced. I mean, it was actually people are shocked when I tell them, you know, we basically got divorced within, you know, 2 months of deciding that's what we were going to do.
Well, and let's talk about that because, yes, they'll come to our office and we'll tell them anywhere from, you know, 12 months to 18 months is typical. But I do want our listeners to know, because Morgan, clearly you had a very good understanding of your financial situation.
Yeah. So before we were married, I was actually very financially independent and he was financially independent. We both had our careers. I had owned a home in Orlando and I worked in Orlando. He was renting and I encouraged him to buy at the time because I had a mentor in my life who was encouraging me. You know, she was kind of kid. And that's when I learned about the real estate and the benefits of, you know, if you're paying this much for rent, you might as well be putting it towards what you're owning. And so I met him and I was like, well, what are you doing?
Right.
You have this salary, you have this lifestyle, you should be owning your home. And so we were pretty serious pretty quickly, and we ended up purchasing a home. You know, kind of, we both knew we wanted to be beachside, and we both had a commute. So we mutually bought this home. I helped him with the down payment a little bit. It was his home, though. It was his name. And I had my home in Orlando. And so when it came time for us to divorce, you know, it was pretty easy for us to divvy up those assets.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years after buying this house, the lot next door to us went for sale. So when we were getting divorced, we owned 4 properties, 2 of them together, the 370. Got my address, so I'm not doing that. But the house he's in now, and then the lot next door. So I had got the Orlando house. He inherited a house. His dad passed away, unfortunately, when we were married. So he has that house. And then we divvied up. I got the lot and he got the house, with the promise to each other that neither of us were going to sell. If we ever did sell, the other party would have first rights to purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever sell that lot, he gets, you know, the opportunity to buy it. But I'm never going to sell it. I mean, we want our kids to grow up. I mean, thinking about also like 50 years from now, what a gift for Rainey and Piper to both have, or my kids, a property or 2 houses right next to each other, you know, whether or not they want to live there or sell it. But I think just knowing that I can die leaving them that, you know, I'll feel good.
And that is, you know, and that is a wonderful thing, right? To invest in something that for the legacy of your children. Now, so obviously, you and your ex, I mean, you guys were amicable. You recognized yeah. that the marriage was not going to work, but you were also able to have a rational, logical discussion and make some would sound like really good decisions for the benefit of your children.
Yeah. And that's where I always come back to, because so when we did get divorced, I think the logical thing, what a lot of people were thinking I would do, would just mm-hmm. move back to Orlando. I had a home. My mortgage
right.
was low there. And it's much easier for me to find a job in Orlando than it is here. Just with my background and my degrees. And, you know, it's a small beach town. And I have a degree in service design. My master's is in service design. You know, it's not very popular here. But again, just thinking, you know, what is that? All the impact that's going to have on our kids if they need to drive an hour and a half to see their dad or to see their mom or just us. I mean, all of our friends are in this community. They've known everybody since they've been born. You know, I've been really active with my kids. Even though we had the pandemic, we would still frequent, you know, we got to know all of our neighbors and our librarians and the teachers in the nearby school. I mean, we know people and they know everybody. And so I think that was, you know, it's not really valued in dollars, but I mean, the value of keeping our kids in their community, in their homes, for me, that's priceless. You know, having both parents accessible to their upbringing, I mean, that's what we really are focusing on now.
Well, and that's great. And, you know, I think the key word is that you both are in agreement on that as the focus. And so for our listeners, like, even if you're not in agreement now, it's okay. But like, if you might be able to be, it really depends, because so many things go into making a marriage work and so many things go into when it doesn't work. And, you know, when there's an opportunity to on maybe not everything, but if you can find some things to agree on, like your children, that can be a really great starting place. Because then, like you were saying, all the other decisions were really built around what you two were both trying to do for your kids.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like, for these big, the things that really matter, our kids, our lifestyle, we're both plant-based, which is very rare, especially where we live. But, you know, that's something we're both doing. Ryan's been vegan for 20 years. I've been vegan for 10. My kids have been, you know, vegan since conception. But the type of education they're receiving, we do agree on a lot of those things. And really, that's where our conversation revolves around. I think we let a lot of the little things go. Him too. I know I let a lot of the little things go, because now I'm building the house on that lot. But
okay,
it's not built yet. So we're co-living in we call it the big house, Ryan's house. And especially when it comes to chores and, you know, groceries and who's filling up the fridge and who's tidying up. I think that's where it can get really nuanced. And that's when tensions can flare up and there can be a lot of issues. But with really clear communication, I think we're figuring it out. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I don't have all the answers, but we are working on it. Like every week is a new iteration, you know? Okay, this week, let's try you being really gone now, all Monday.
Right. Now, the article mentioned at the time that the article came out or when it was written, you had a 19-foot Airstream trailer on the lot. Now, is that still there or no?
Man, no. I came home one day and there was a note after the article was published and there was a note on the door that said no in Airstream. And so, and I love our city. Like, they are so kind. Because I was just like, I'm so sorry, you guys. I had no idea, like, what I was doing is illegal. And he's like, you know who outed yourself? Like, the Wall Street Journal. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. So they really were kind and just, you know, said, don't live there anymore. And, you know, Ryan is kind. But, you know, that really opened my eyes because, you know, Ryan said, you can live here if, you know, you need to. But I was trying to find an apartment or something.
Okay.
And what I found was basically I can't afford anything that would actually accommodate me and my kids right now. Like in our area, I can afford a one bed, like a studio, but because there's so many HOAs involved in all apartments, basically, they would not allow for us to just share a bedroom. And I'm just thinking, guys, like we've been living in a 19-foot Airstream trailer for the past 7 months. Like my kids and I are in a queen size bed for a few months. So that was very eye opening for me and just what families can afford or single parents can afford. And, you know, kind of is even because I could afford something, you know, maybe 45 minutes away. But again, that's a cost like gas and just your time travel. I mean, that all adds up. So yeah, it's kind of that was painful for me to experience. And I'm just grateful that we have this again, like, you know, we get along well enough that we can tolerate together for a temporary, a fixed amount of time.
So let's talk. Okay, there's so many things to talk about because I love it. Yeah, but I think this is the most important because this will frame everything for our listeners. Let's talk about how did you negotiate and define your boundaries? Because, you know, that becomes so important after the divorce, almost even more so, and when you guys were living so closely, I would love if you'd share a little bit about that.
Yeah, we just kept going. You know, for me, I really wanted him to feel just 100% comfortable. And I think, and vice versa, you know, he cares about, you know, how I'm feeling too. And so just kind of coming back and really getting in the specifics of things. So like our biggest one basically is no guests. You know, we're not having like romantic partners and like, you know, that's not really an issue anyway. But I think for us just being highly sensitive to, you know, who's coming over here and who's going to be in our shared space and when. So we basically just said we're giving it a year before we even like coming back to that topic. And, you know, if you have like a date or something, just do it outside of our sacred, you know, this is our sacred space, like our family space.
Okay.
So if you're hanging out or, you know, you want to go on a date, just do it somewhere else away from our kids. That's another thing. We both grew up with step parents too. And pretty quickly, they were introduced in our life. And for me personally, I mean, my stepmom and I are so, so close, like today. Yeah. But I think because it might have been so fast, and she would not mind me sharing, I think. But because, you know, it was just kind of really fast as a child, there was friction when it all happened.
Right.
And in hindsight, I think if maybe it was a little bit slower or we all had more time to adapt, you know, it wouldn't have been as jarring for the family members. So I think that when it comes to boundaries, that's just the first thing that comes to my mind is like, the biggest like pain point for us is that our friends come over all the time. He has friends over, I have friends over. Like we always wanted that too. That's another vision we had was like our house is kind of the hub for our kids. Their friends are coming over all the time. And so that's never really been, but this was, you know, the issue. And then of course there's like the little daily tasks of leaving the dishes in the sink. He doesn't like when I do that. Very intentional. I'm trying to get that done. Make my coffee, like clean up the coffee grounds. So there are those little daily practices that you can just show kindness and consideration. Do I hit it out of the park every time? Absolutely not. You know, like I'm rushing the kids to school or, you know, and so to allow each other some grace there too, and which I think we both try to as well. We text a lot when we have little issues like that. We'll communicate through texting instead of, you know, like verbally trying to sort it out. It's just easier mm-hmm. a bit more like objective, I would say.
So let's talk about the pros and cons of this arrangement, just from your perspective, because I think it's going to be so helpful for our listeners. And again, that's why I so appreciate you just sharing the real straight truth, right?
Yeah. Yes. I think if you were to ask my kids, your parents are divorced, what does that mean? I think they would say, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they would say. Like, well, we spend time with mom and we spend time with dad. You know, I don't think that for them, their world has altered too much. You know, we check in, we'll have family dinners once a week and we'll try to check in, especially with our son. He's older. You know, how are you feeling? And, you know, when we realized we were getting divorced, we sat them down and said, you know, we're not going to be together anymore. We're not going to sleep in the same room anymore. And Rainey was like, her son was like, okay, can I have some more cereal? Like, he just didn't. Yeah. Like, they just didn't really care because we're still together and we're still sharing, you know, birthday parties. We just went trick-or-treating together. I mean, we're still doing these big moments together, I think, and still being a family as much as we can. So I think that is, so far, for the kind of the worst case situation, I think for our children, they're receiving the best version of that, just so far.
Right.
The con, you know, it is... I would say it for me, I'm getting so much figured out. Like, that is a big con. I mean, I'm starting from square one. I had a career and I had my own job and I had my own house. And, you know, I definitely feel like I just kind of take it a minute at a time every single day trying to, you know, I'm building the house and just, I mean, that's a whole other project. Like, and I'm coordinating. So, for example, you have to get the soil tested and you have to apply for a permit and you have to get the land surveyed. And again, I'm trying to save money. So who's the project manager? It's me. So it's just kind of like this whole other level. I feel like I have so many different levels of new. And I'm just kind of taking it, you know, step by step and deep breaths and, you know, still trying to focus on the kids 100% of the time. And it is, that's a con, you know, to be venturing out. It's exciting. I mean, I don't know if it's a pro or a con, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. I will say that. And it's like, if I didn't have my support, I'm trying not to say that again all the time because I notice we do that. But if I didn't have my friends here and all the support from my family and my job, I work at a boutique and I just love the owner and she's just such a leader in the community and then this team around her. I mean, if I didn't have these support systems, there's no way I'd be getting through this year. There's just no way. And so I give a lot of love to them and recognize that every day just to be grateful, you know, I try to show that gratitude. So I'm hoping now, questions.
Yeah, no, okay. So in the article.
Yes.
You know, they talked about nesting, which, you know, for our listeners, it's when the children stay in the home and the parents rotate in and out. Yeah. But I don't know if that was really what you were doing, but maybe in the beginning, were you guys doing that a little bit? Or
at the time of the article, I was living in the Airstream. And so we weren't really,
you weren't rotating out.
Yeah, I've always come in the house to use the kitchen and the laundry because I just can't, you know, I do a lot of meal prep. And we never really have been, and now I'm just here full time. So we're not really ever rotating out. I'm definitely very adventurous. So on my off time when I'm not with the kids, I'm either working or I'm surfing or I'm with a girlfriend or, you know, I'm out. Like, I don't, you know, I basically come home to sleep. If I'm not watching the children. And Ryan, too, I mean, he has that house in Daytona. So I notice he's kind of taking, you know, he's going on adventures in his free time. So I would say we've started falling into that rhythm. It is nice. It is nice to have that kind of space. And, you know, if families can do that, I would recommend, because that's saving us a ton of money, too. And you even look at Airbnbs, if you wanted to rent an Airbnb for a weekend or, you know, it's expensive. Accommodations are really expensive right now, renting or even doing a short-term rental. It's So
let me ask you this. Okay, whose idea was it? I want to know, like, was it your idea? Like, no, Ryan, you can just live in the house and I'll stay in the camper. How did you get to that? I just got to know. I got to know. Because I'd be like, I don't know. You can live in a tent. I don't know if I can live in the camper.
It was my idea. That's why I was getting so heated when the Wall Street Journal came out and all these people were commenting, kind of bashing him, like he's making her live in the Airstream. I'm like, that's my idea, ladies. This is my lifestyle. I originally wanted to just build a tiny house next door. And even when we were married, I kind of wanted our family to move in the Airstream and rent because we have all these properties. And we could have passive income if we just rent out these three houses that we already own. Now I'm glad we didn't, because now I know that's legal. But at the time, that would have been a harder lesson probably. But at the time, yeah. So I've always been drawn to sustainable ways of living. I've always been drawn to minimalism of living, like less things, less stuff, more time experiencing life outside and doing things, you know, with people you love. That's always kind of been my pull. And so I think we did do marriage counseling. We did it all of December last year. And I think we just realized it wasn't going to be happening. And so I moved into the Airstream and we just have been kind of taking it a day at a time from then. So, you know, I think we're in a more steady, solid place now that we can live together. I think, you know, in the beginning when it was a lot of turbulence.
Yeah.
I really needed space. I mean, I really needed the space. And so that's when I just kind of was like, okay, I'm moving out. I'm moving into our Airstream.
Well, and Morgan, I really appreciate you saying that, because you guys worked it out and you came up with an amicable agreement that like most people only aspire to. But you are here today to tell us like, okay, there was turbulence. It was tough.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I appreciate that because some women are like, oh my God, I could never. And how do you deal with all the emotions? So it was tough, even though you guys kind of were in agreement, you went through it, huh?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, there were like 4 to 6 months of it being really, really hard and terrifying. I mean, in my life, there has not been a more frightening moment to realize like, I need to, you know, this marriage isn't going to work. And, you know, if I didn't have my friends and my family and, you know, resources, like the marriage counselor was so helpful. And to just be kind of just grateful to be in this generation where we can talk so openly about things and, you know, not to, you know, to feel like, okay, I'm surviving. I'm getting through it. Like we're, you know, like the world is still turning, like we're taking it a day at a time. But yeah, of course. And that's where I really, really hope to emphasize, I don't have all the answers. I don't. It's not like rainbows and daisies over here. Like even every day, every week is different. And you know, there's a new conflict and there's a new way we're trying to move through it. And so I don't know. But I do know that our kids see us every day. Rainey, my son, woke up with me and he wanted to go give his dad a hug. That was no problem. I do see these concrete examples that I don't necessarily see if I were to be living an hour and a half away. You know, there are these concrete behaviors that are happening that I, you know, kind of tally every day. Like, okay, you know, the kids wanted to go on a walk with their dad while I cleaned up the kitchen and he was fine with that. Even though it was my night, he was fine with that. So they did that. And I was able to clean the kitchen and they were able to have some connection time today. You know, and I think that's how if you have children and you decide you're getting divorced, all of a sudden the perspective has to come from their lens, from your children's lens, because it's not about you. I mean, it is about you and it's painful and relationship, but it's really about your kids and what's in their best interest. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's abusive, different relationships where this, you know, this isn't like a one size fits all. You know, if there's like abuse or other levels of toxicity, that this kind of lifestyle this is probably not the best option. But if you are just in disagreement and it's a hard time and you feel safe around your ex-partner and vice versa, and you want to try to mend things for your children, I would say give this a whirl.
Okay. Now, what is the hardest part of sharing property with an ex beyond the divorce?
I think so far with the gardening situation. So another agreement we had was we don't want to put up a fence. And we want our kids to be able to walk. But I do love privacy. So I'm putting up lattices and I'm putting up, you know, I planted some white oleander. And I think that was a surprise to Ryan. And so, you know, there's just these little like hiccups along the way where it's like, okay, well, let's talk about this. Let's, you know, design it together. If, you know, you're very passionate about something, I think that's something too. You have to recognize when your ex, even if you don't agree, like, you know, sometimes I think, well, he's overreacting or, you know, but I have to step back and say, this is important to him. So let me just chill and try to meet him where he needs. And he does that for me too. I think it's vice versa, even though I don't understand it sometimes. It's like, okay, like, let's try to figure it out.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how you, especially now, because now you're back in the house, but even before, typically after divorce, well, and there always is some type of time sharing, right? Because schedules are helpful. Yeah. And everybody, you want some structure. Some people do, but you definitely like, you know, two nights are yours, then two his, then like every other weekend. So how do you maintain a schedule?
Yeah.
While you're still there, how do you guys do that?
The notes app on Apple, you know, they have the notes. Uh-huh. So because I work in a boutique, my schedule is also varies every week. It's not a typical 9 to 5. Every week is always the same. And so on Sunday nights, I'll look at the week ahead. On the nights I absolutely, because sometimes I work late, on the nights I absolutely need him to watch the kids. And we'll take it from there. We go week by week. And so I'll have the kids for 3 nights or he'll have them for 3 nights and the other one has 4. If there's like a holiday or a special event, like we have Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. So he's going to take them for Thanksgiving and I'm going to take them for Christmas. But yeah, usually we go every other night. Neither of us like to be away from them for so long. So it's not even 2 days. Usually it'll be, you know, Monday night with me, Tuesday night with him. And again, it's so easy. We're not driving hours to see each other. So it kind of works.
Right. And then soon your house will be finished eventually. Yeah. And then it'll just be the children just going back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can be responsible for their own stuff. That's something we're really working on right now. Oh my gosh. It's like you have your water bottles, shoes, backpack. Okay. Every day.
Now, let me ask you this, because you did talk about how great marriage counseling was to help you, you know, as you guys were, you know, making these decisions and ending the marriage. Now, have you continued along that and or with, you know, with your ex-husband, have you two continued to do anything like that? Any counseling to help support this relationship?
We haven't. And, you know, we probably should. I think it would be... I think it'd be good. My bachelor's is in psychology. I'm a huge psych person and I love talking. I feel like my friends are my counselor. I feel like I have a lot of different counselors. But no, professionally, like we don't sit down and maybe one day we would do that.
I mean, it seems like it's working well. And that's why I asked, because you guys seem to really be respectful of one another. And clearly from what you said, you know, resolve.
Yeah.
When there are disagreements or issues.
Yeah. I think, you know, maybe in the future, or if it wasn't respectful anymore, I think that would be a good idea for us to turn to, like, maybe someone could help us with this. Yeah. I think because when we started with the divorce, that process of us coming together and meeting with the peaceful mediator, her name was Brooke, I think that was kind of what substituted, you know, for the counseling, just taking so much time. And so then we just kind of, you know, life happened. But yes, definitely. If we were to have if we couldn't start talking to each other amicably and resolving conflicts in like a peaceful way, I definitely would need like some more support in some fashion. And counseling is a great resource, I think. And there's so many options. You can do it virtually. You know, there's hundreds of apps.
There's a lot, which is... It's so nice. It's so accessible. And that way you can find the right fit, right? You're not just confined to, who's in your area. Yeah, I know. You know, I'm going to stay in touch, Morgan, because I really, especially once the house is done and I believe it'll still work really well, because I would imagine you two will attract other romantic interests that will be like you, because that's when things can get tricky, you know, when, I mean, that's when it gets sticky.
Yeah, I agree. And that's like, it's all out there, you know, situation. And so if anyone ever, you know, we're trying to pursue either one of us, it's kind of like, well, this is my family. I always tell Ryan, like, you are my family, you know, like that's not good.
Yeah. Thing.
Once you birth children with someone, like there's no erasing you out of my life. Like we're always going to be together.
Well, and I'm going to tell you just from, you know, someone much older, but whose parents were divorced, right? And now I've got children of my own, right? The divorced parents share grandchildren. And I just got to tell you, Morgan, you guys are so much further ahead. Now, obviously the 80s were different, right? I think divorcing in the 80s, totally different thing. But I think until my brother and I got married, they were not voluntarily in the same room.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a war of the roses, but it was not an amicable situation either, right? So it was somewhere in there. Yeah. And I think a lot of unresolved feelings over many years. And it's just, I just really commend you both because I know it's not easy, but it's worth it over time. Because like you said, he really is your family. I mean, because your children will grow up and have all these things. He will be there. They will then have wonderful events that you guys will want to celebrate together.
And we've spent all these years knowing each other's families and friends. And I still love his family too, and his friends. You know, they come over when we get big swell. Everyone comes to our house because we have all these rooms. And, you know, it's fun. And it's like, I don't want that to ever change. And I don't want it to be weird with me and his friends and vice versa. I'll have big parties with the girls and, you know, we'll have like some beers and the kids are playing and climbing trees. And it's like, this is just normal for us. And Ryan's walking around in the gardening. This is kind of it. And so if it continues, I agree. Like, I feel like this whole nesting is a big prototype for my build. And so that was because people like in my family were a little worried.
I'm sure they were. They were worried,
you know. So I just am kind of like, you know what? It's not going to be built tomorrow. It's going to probably be built in years. And in the meantime, we're working out the kinks in this arrangement.
Yeah.
And I can call it at any time and find an apartment and, you know, we'll just scratch the whole thing. But I think he and I are both dedicated to this vision of, again, our kids like having their own house, going in between, having mom and dad right there. And so I know it seems kind of radical for a lot of people. If you can try it out before you invest, that's another recommendation I would have.
Well, so I had someone on the show, been about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And Morgan, they've been doing it for, I think, almost 10 years. They had been nesting. They are both remarried. But the new spouses don't come but it works. Cause I was just questioning her. I was like, how in the world does this ever work? But you know, she said all of the things that so it's not completely crazy. It is really, I think, dependent on the people involved and your willingness, both of their, you know, their willingness to make it work. And it was really fascinating to me. It changed my mind because, as you know, as a divorce attorney, see, we don't meet you and Ryan because you guys are working it all out, but we see all the things that don't work and all of the conflict. So we're just like, I don't know about that, but like, it's fascinating to me when people can really rise above their own interest and really work for it, because I know it requires work every day.
I was just going to say, like, 9 months ago, you might have been like, what? I'm really thinking about this, like, we're at each other's throats, you know, but it's like time, like just time and patience and like trying to show up and, you know, just keep showing up and like keep trying and keep working through it and being honest, you know, like I've had to change a lot of my ways too. And, you know, but I want to do that. I don't want my kids to be without their dad. He's a great dad, you know, that's for sure.
Well, and that's wonderful. And also, like, you know, back to like, say, the title of the article, you know, the Wall Street Journal, but like you are both really probably, it's just so financially smart what you guys are trying to do as well, so that you didn't have to sell and divide everything and then just start over.
Even rent. I mean, even if one of us wanted to rent, it would have been, I mean, at least $10,000, at least at this point. You know, we would have been spending $10,000. And then just to consider, I mean, I still check on Zillow and Trulia. I just kind of my habit. And I mean, there's no way I'd be able to afford what I'm about to build.
Well, I really, you know, obviously appreciate you being on the show. And I do have a question for you that I ask all our guests. Our show is called Women Winning Divorce, because I do believe that we can win at life and you can win at divorce without making someone else lose. So I would love to know, what does winning at life mean for you?
I think that's a really good question. I think for me, I'm in a much healthier headspace than I was, you know, a year or even 2 years ago. I'm feeling much more fulfilled. I feel like my old self. I think my kids are not suffering, you know, the extent that I envisioned divorce being. So I feel like I'm in a great place mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Like, I think that's a lot of what this whole lesson of being married taught me, is just kind of, you're really whole before you're married. And I didn't have that mindset. I think it was my fault. You know, I didn't have that mindset. It was like, you get married and you're complete. I felt so lost in that marriage. And now I feel completely different. I feel like my old self. I feel strong, and just, I'm excited to wake up every day. I'm happy to wake up every day. And I think, you know, or women winning divorce, maybe it's not always divorce. Maybe it turns into, you know, finding your own self through the separation process or through counseling or whatever it is, but just kind of coming back to that space where, you know, you're not crazy for having these feelings. You're not, you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever label, negative connotation you want to give yourself. You know, you are allowed to have these feelings and experience these feelings, and then to kind of make it work for you without feeling guilty. So I think I just kind of talked in a big circle, but that's me winning divorce, is just feeling way more whole with myself than I was.
Wow, that is wonderful. Lastly, Morgan, where can our listeners find you if you want to be found for any more information or resources?
I'm probably on Instagram the most. I run a surf group for parents. It's called Surf and Bitches. So basically, we take turns between catching waves and watching each other's babes. And I also host retreats, professional and for women. And so that is, you know, a fun way to, I'm always posting also of like just our family and our kids. And we just cleared the house build. So I'm going to start posting pictures of notebook. So yeah, Instagram.
Okay. Well, we will definitely make sure that is in the show notes. And I so appreciate you, Morgan. We've reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Morgan Dixon, for joining us to discuss how housing, finances, and family dynamics intersect after divorce, and how women can make smart, empowered choices, even in unconventional situations. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Heather. Thank you.
Aw, thank you. It was great. Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not an advertisement for legal services. The information provided on this podcast is not intended to be legal advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact an attorney in your local jurisdiction. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are solely those of the individuals and do not represent the views or opinions of the firms or organizations with which they are affiliated. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any editing, reproduction, or redistribution of this podcast for commercial use or monetary gain without the expressed written consent of the podcast's creator is prohibited.